listening to Raising Perdition, a Supernatural Rewatch podcast. This podcast is for anyone who wants more Supernatural content or anyone just starting the show. I'm Beth Brin.
I'm Hannah Barrow.
And I'm Abby Jo Morton.
And we're your hosts. Let's jump in.
Raising Perdition is intended for adult audiences, and our episodes may contain PG-13 and R-rated language. We advise listener discretion for discussions of violence, sexual assault, eating disorders, and other topics some listeners may find disturbing. We want to empower you, our audience, with the knowledge you need to make healthy decisions about how and if you should consume this podcast content.
Welcome back. You're listening to Raising Perdition. I'm one of your hosts, Beth. I'm here with my co-hosts, Hannah and Abby Jo. How are y'all doing?
Good. Good. How are you?
Good, good. Today we have a special guest, Amelia. How are you doing?
I am great.
For those of you who haven't listened to season 3 or you don't remember, Amelia is Hannah and Abby Jo's older sister, and we're so happy to have her back. She was on Mystery Spot in season 3.
Oh, Mystery Spot.
This week we are doing episode 20 of season 4, The Rapture. This episode was directed by Charles Beeson and written by Jeremy Carver. Last thing we saw from Mr. Beeson was Sex and Violence, episode 14. I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's The Great Pumpkin, Sam Winchester. So, pretty good episodes. Well,
eh. Yeah.
Fine. We love Sex and Violence.
Fins. Right, we're the Sex and Violence girlies. So
yes, no. We are. Abby's about to be inducted into that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Abby's about to be a Sex and Violence girly.
Hell yeah. We have no idea what the posting schedule will be for our podcast or KJ's Supernatural Opinions pod, but we'll be on that episode.
Keep an eye soonish out.
Or yeah. Already have been.
So we don't know.
Go check out KJ's podcast.
Who knows?
All right. Jeremy Carver, he wrote the episode. Last time we saw him was in Death Takes a Holiday, Family Remains, In the Beginning. And he wrote Mystery Spot with Emily McLaughlin. So that's a fun little invisible string tie back to that.
This episode takes place in Pontiac, Illinois, which is close to where Dean woke up in the first episode of this season. So that's important. And obviously it is.
He was snoozing.
Where he woke up. He was just taking a dirt nap. And...
And he woke up. A nice 4 month long dirt nap.
And he crawled out of his own grave, as one does. Mm-hmm. And he was near Pontiac, Illinois, which again, it makes sense, even though he doesn't immediately see Cass. So it's not like, you know, like he doesn't see Cass until he's with Bobby.
So there's actually literally no time telling of when Cass possesses Jimmy. Because, Dean has a handprint scar. So, Cass already possessing Jimmy, to go fight in hell to get Dean?
I would imagine that he was still in his angel form when he pulled Dean out. And then he's like, I need to find a meat suit. And then he just, finds Jimmy.
That makes sense. Where did the hand come
But I really from? Wish there was, I really wish there was, a legitimate, timetable.
Maybe he just made it look like a hand so that Dean would be like, that's a hand, you know? It'd be creepier if it was
manifestation. It's not an actual, it's just a representation of his mark that saved Dean, when he pulled him out.
Also, similarly to last week, there's no timeline.
Hell yeah.
It's been almost a year.
I accidentally opened Hannah's notes instead of that line because it was titled 4x20 The Rapture. When I opened it, it says timeline and it just says no with a smiley face. Just no, there will not be a timeline.
But it's been almost a year, so says Amelia, Jimmy's wife. But again, we don't know when Cass actually possessed Jimmy's vessel. So we don't know.
Big old question mark.
Who know? We don't.
Okay, so now the actual summary. That was just the location, the setting, if you will. When Castiel appears to Dean in a dream and says he needs to meet him somewhere private to tell him something important, Sam and Dean go searching for Cass. When they find him, it turns out he has evacuated his human vessel and Jimmy is left behind. Jimmy doesn't remember much about being possessed by the angel, but he wants to go back to his family. He does that, and it turns out demons are after him, just like Sam and Dean said they would be. Cass takes Jimmy's daughter Claire as a vessel. Jimmy almost dies and asks Cass to take him instead, and Cass tells Dean he learned his lesson, and he does not serve Dean. He serves heaven. Also, Dean sees Sam drinking demon blood straight from the tap, and he and Bobby scheme to lock Sam in the demon panic room Bobby has.
Straight from the tap.
And his face is just like,
can I get that demon blood on draft?
Yeah. What kind of demon blood you got?
He's like, I prefer a ruby, but
yeah,
this will do.
Yeah, this will work, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
Does everyone have their favorite moment?
These are our favorite moments of this supernatural episode. Our favorite moments, we're telling you now.
I'll go first.
Okay.
It was hard because obviously Misha Collins looks really cute and really good throughout this entire episode. So that's just... I just wanted to point that out. But my favorite moment was actually a Dean moment where he's like, I hope it was a refreshing Coke when Sam says he's going to go get a Coke. Like, it's just, or that he got a Coke and that's why Jimmy got away.
The way he's laughing, like, at the beginning of that is so funny too. He's like,
that whole moment, he's just like, man.
You loser. You idiot. You're so dumb.
I hope it was the best Coke you've ever had.
He's going to be so upset to find out it wasn't. It wasn't Coke.
It wasn't.
He's like, oh.
All right, I'm getting it now. It wasn't afterwards, a Coke. He
said, you didn't even go get a Coke, did you?
You don't even drink Coke.
You were drinking demon blood the whole time.
He's like, oh, when you said Coke, you meant the equivalent to cocaine for you.
Oh.
I think my favorite moment is also my least favorite moment. And it's just one I want to point out. Why in God's name did Sam have to dump the demon blood onto his hand before he suckled it up?
Just for us.
The first time made sense because you're like, oh, this is demon blood. The second time, why?
It's purely so that the audience is like, oh, yeah, it's demon blood.
But like, you could have left it on his lips. It could have dripped out of his mouth.
Anything other than him full on just like making out with his hand.
It is kind of like doing cocaine, like, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he, like,
it's very, yes.
But yeah, I said the same thing, Abby. Like, it's obviously just for the purpose of Jimmy getting away, because he could have sat in the room and drank it out of his flask like a normal person. But instead,
Dean had no idea.
Right. Well, how's Dean going to know what's in there?
Dean was asleep.
Right, but if he woke up, like, I'm sure that's Sam's concern. Dean wakes up and he's like, what's in your flask? Like, why would you just assume it's alcohol?
Dean wakes up and you're weirdly licking your hand outside. Yeah.
If he's like, oh, it's blood and the audience needs to know, like, have him drink it and then, like,
a little drop or something. Yeah.
Have it dribble out of his mouth.
I think my favorite part was just, I love it every time he's doing it, but Dean brushing his teeth. I think it's so cute. His little dental hygiene. He's so concerned about it. Just watching him brush his teeth. It's so cute.
He's not in a hurry. That's the wrong thing. Sam's like, can you please come on? And he's like, I'm going to take the 2 minutes required to brush my teeth.
Yeah. He said, I started this timer and I will stay until the end of it.
You're the one that let him go. Not me. And my teeth aren't suffering for it.
So... Okay, I think my favorite moment I'm going to pick is actually a Samuel moment.
Ooh, yes.
I know. It's when he licks the blood out of his hand.
I was kidding.
You're like, I loved it. Give me more of that.
It is actually a Sam line, but it's not like, it's just something that was written for him. But it's when they're like, Jimmy, you can't leave at the beginning, like the first time. And he's like, so now I'm a prisoner. And Sam just goes, harsh way to put it. Like, yeah, you are. You are a prisoner. But like, I wouldn't say that. But yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say it like that. But yes.
Yeah.
All right. Cold open. Dean is having a great time. He's really relaxed. He's enjoying himself. He's fishing on a dock, and then Cass appears. And when he appears, Dean's like, I'm dreaming, aren't I? Because when would Dean ever have a moment of peace to go fishing? That was a red flag. We knew something was up from the beginning. And Cass is like, we need to talk, and we need to talk in a place that's more private. And Dean's like, we're literally in my head. And Cass is like, exactly. Someone could be listening. And he's like, oh, okay. He gives Cass an address and says to meet him there immediately. Come immediately. And then Dean wakes up. Sam and Dean show up at a random warehouse, and they're looking for Cass, but he's not there. And this warehouse is just like completely destroyed. Some people were definitely fighting in there. They see a symbol on the wall that's like one that Anna used when she banished Cass and Uriel when we first met her. but it's like huge on the wall. And so Sam's like, what? So like angels are fighting angels? Like what's happening? And Dean's like, I don't know. Because why would he? And then Dean sees Cass's body and he rushes over to him and he tried to get him up and he's like, you know, hey, what's going on? But Cass sounds a little different and he seems really disoriented. And then he says that he's not Castiel, he's me. And Sam's like, who the hell is me? And he's like, Jimmy. and Dean's like, where is Cass? And Jimmy's like, he's gone. Bye.
He's gone.
That's it. He's gone.
I just thought it was cute that in his dream, Dean's just fishing. This is the most peaceful, relaxing dream.
Also, another tip off that it was not reality is that the color was super like saturated and bright. That's not, that's not their world.
I just think it's sweet because as like the age old saying, a dream is a wish your heart makes. It's like he doesn't like just live in the blood and gore all the time. He has just that moment of peace when he's sleeping and then he, you know, startled awake.
But right.
I think it's so sweet that he does have, you know, dreams of better
peaceful dreams. Because I have nightmares.
Well,
same.
It's pretty notable that, I mean, he's been having nightmares. So like he's getting to a point from being out of hell that he's finally like kind of getting back to having some like normalcy.
Right. That's
true.
I like the idea that he's like, Cass is here. Oh, this must be a dream. Because like when is Cass around when I want him to be?
Yeah.
He must be dreaming.
I must be dreaming.
A nice moment with Cass can't be real. Yeah. Has to be something bad happening. That's the only time Castiel ever comes around. Something going on.
Yeah.
Because the last time he saw Cass was in 418 when Cass kind of gave him the like wink, wink, nudge, nudge to go get Chuck to stop Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the last contact they've had that we have seen. A notable difference is that Misha Collins made the acting choice to have Jimmy sound different than Cass, so Jimmy actually just kind of sounds like Misha Collins.
I love that the stark difference, like, you know, as soon as he starts talking, that's not Cass. Like so good.
Well, there's just so much emotion in his voice.
Misha does a really good job. Cass is like a robot.
Yeah, he is.
We'll get to the, you know, the end, but like there's a scene where it's like literally Jimmy, maybe Jimmy and like Cass back to back. And like there's no like set change, there's no clothing change, but you can tell they're different people. And that is all because of Misha's acting. He does a great job.
I think it's a great like intro to like how great Misha does in the rest of the series, because like that is just a small little glimpse of what Misha's acting can do, and like the way that he so good.
And he's done a really good job like being Castiel, and that's evident because they've kept him on, like they were supposed to kill him off episodes ago, but it just shows kind of like why people were so like, wow, like this character has really changed the game, and Misha's brought so much like great acting to this character, and like he bounces off of like Jared and Jensen's acting performances as well, like so well. It's no wonder that he was a hit for a majority of people watching.
So we cut to Jimmy and he is devouring a burger because Cass never ate. I guess he just didn't have to. Even though he was in a human body, he still didn't have to eat. But Sam's like, what happened? And Jimmy, he's like, I don't know. I just remember a flash of light. And then I was myself again. And Dean's like, did Cass just ditch out of your meat suit, out of your body? And Jimmy's like, I don't know. Pretty much this whole thing is them just asking him questions and him being like, don't know. He's like, I remember bits and pieces of being possessed, but he said it was like being chained to a comet. And he said it was like some of the most like painful times. And Jimmy says he doesn't remember what Cass wanted, because Dean's like, Cass wanted to tell me something. Do you remember that? He's like, no, no clue. And he's like, what do you know, Jimmy? You don't know shit. What do you know? And he says, I know my name is Jimmy Novak. I'm from Pontiac, Illinois, and I have a family.
Here you go.
So that's the beginning of his dating profile. My name is Jimmy Novak. I'm from Pontiac, Illinois, and I have a family.
I have a wife and a daughter.
I absolutely hated watching Jimmy eat the burger.
Yeah.
He's
having a good time.
It's also horrible sounding. Yeah.
Yes.
Smacking that burger down.
I can appreciate the fact that he's appreciating that burger, but I cannot appreciate the sound.
Do it quieter, please.
It's got to be such a wild experience for Sam and Dean, though, because like they've known Cass in this body as stoic figure, and then this guy's just chowing down on a burger, and he's just like, I don't know, like kind of goofy, honestly.
Yeah.
And Dean's like, I'm not so sure about this. Do you know anything?
Maybe getting the ick a little bit. He's like, oh no.
Yeah, he's like,
oh no.
It's a great point of somehow when Misha Collins is playing Jimmy Novak, there's not that chemistry that Cass and Dean have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not there. But somehow when Cass is there, played notably by the same actor, there's tons of chemistry between them.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. Yeah.
I feel like even at the end of the episode when Cass is back and says, like, I don't serve you, it's still like,
oh, like,
yeah.
The way Dean reacts and being like, oh,
there's so many, we'll get there, but there are so many choices where I'm like, why did they do, if not Destiel this way,
right, why?
Then why did they do it? Like, specifically, like, Dean's the one who just asked, so did Cass just ditch out of your meat suit? Basically, like, he's low-key asking, like, is Cass alive? You know, like, it's Dean the one who's asking about Cass. He's the one who asked in the cold open, like, where is Cass? It's not Sam. It's always Dean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So in the next scene, we see a flashback of Jimmy Novak with his sweet little family. They're sitting at the dinner table. They're saying their prayer before the meal. And then it pans over and Jimmy's asleep in the recliner. Very dad style. And some TV program is on about a guy who was in an accident and he saw angels. But then the TV begins to have a bunch of static. And then Jimmy wakes up and tries to turn it off and it's not working. And then you start to hear that high-pitched whine, which we have now associated with being an angel's voice. And then Jimmy just straight up collapses on the ground and starts convulsing.
Yeah.
Casual.
Him have a seizure.
Yep. He's actually epileptic. And the static on the TV gave him a seizure.
Yeah.
And that's where it is.
Yeah, this has actually nothing to do with Cass. They're just giving us a little tidbit into Jimmy's medical history.
Yeah. They said, oh, he's epileptic. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they meant by it was in his blood. Okay.
He's also like screaming, and his wife doesn't come downstairs to check on him. No, she's just like, oh, Jimmy.
That Jimmy. Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy.
So goofy. She's like, he should have came to bed. I don't know what to tell him.
Yeah. Shouldn't have fallen asleep in the recliner.
That's what happens.
Didn't think he told her, like, oh, I had a seizure last night.
Maybe not. Maybe
he does not.
Who knows, honestly.
He told her about the angel, but he didn't tell her he had a seizure.
Maybe that was part of it. He's like, I had a seizure, thought I could hear a voice when I was having it. And she was probably like, that's not, like, okay, you had a seizure. But, like, I guess hearing something during it isn't, like, I don't know anything about seizures. So, like, maybe that's just happened. Maybe that's a side effect. And then he progressively gets crazier in her ass.
I guess. I still feel, we'll get to it. But the hand in the boiling water, you would assume they're crazy. His hand was fine. I would be like, that's weird.
I also that's have. Weird. I think that mostly Amelia is the only person who has any normal reaction to anything in this episode, except for the boiling water. As someone who's just barely splashed boiling water on themselves before, you can't just stick your hand in it and be A-okay good.
Right. I feel like if she saw it, he didn't just tell her, I did this. She watches him do it. And she's like,
you've got to stop this.
Take your pills. Like, hey, Amelia,
your craziness is affecting your skin now.
Right. Like, you don't feel anything because you're so crazy. Like, it's just like
okay, girl. Even if that's the case, his hand would still have whelps, like burns on him.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's like, it's all it's in your hand.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, it feels like maybe it's in yours, Amelia. Maybe you're making stuff up. All right. So then Sam asks Dean what they should do. And Dean's like, I don't know. Like, I'm confused. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. And Dean's like, I think we should send Jimmy home. Isn't that what we do? We like reunite people with their families. And Sam's like, I just don't know if I believe that Jimmy doesn't know anything. Like, why? I don't know why he'd be lying, but okay. And then Dean's like, okay, so you want to go Guantanamo on him? You want to interrogate him? You want to torture him? And Sam's like, I don't know. Maybe Jimmy doesn't even know what Jimmy doesn't know or what Jimmy knows. And Dean's like, what? And Sam's like, I don't know. Maybe we need to get him to Bobby's. And Dean's like, why? What will that do? And he's like, maybe he just needs a psychic or hypnotherapy or something like that. And he's like, or, you know, like Cass might just drop back in. Who knows what's going to happen? And Dean's just like, I just don't know. And Sam's like, he's not going to let the answer be no, basically. Sam's like, this is what I want to do. So we're going to be doing it. That was some angel on angel violence at the warehouse. And he's like, we can't let our only lead on that skip out. We can't let him leave. And Dean's like, this is when Dean specifically says like that their job was helping people and getting them back with their families. And Sam's just like, I think that Jimmy's in danger and demons are going to come after him. And like, Sam is right. Yes. Because obviously that happens. But like, it's like, he's like, this is what I want to do. And we're not going to talk about it. Let's just do it. Stop asking questions, Dean. Let's just do it. Let's just do what I said. Yeah. It's annoying.
Dean's getting real tired of this whole their justifications have switched. Like, they were just like trying to save people. And now it's like, now we're trying to save the whole world. And sometimes that means things have to happen. And Dean's like, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, of course he wants to save the world, but like, or prevent the world or prevent the apocalypse. He's like, but I just want a family to be together.
And I think that's like, you can see the swap between Sam and Dean, where like Dean was all Hunt. And Sam was more family, or like he wanted like a normal life at the beginning. And now it's like swapped over. And Sam is more, he's got demon blood running through him. So like, your judgment's going to be a little off anyway. But then Dean is like, hey, let's get the family back together. I think it's cute.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I meant to bring this up with the fishing, but, and like the dream that Dean has, like, we're starting to see like bits and pieces of Dean kind of longing for this life of normalcy. And even if he can't have it, we saw it in the last episode with Adam, like he just wants other people to be able to have that normal life that he can't have or that he thinks he can't have. And it's really important to him because he knows the toll that this sort of life brings and he dreams about it. He wants it so bad, but can't have it or he thinks he can't. All right, so the boys tell Jimmy, you can't leave, sorry. And it's because of demons. And Jimmy's like, that's crazy. I don't know anything. I couldn't tell the demons anything anyways. And they're like, yeah, well, the demons aren't going to believe that. Sorry. And Jimmy's like, no, look, I've been shot, stabbed, healed, dragged across the entire planet. Like, I am done. I'm finally out of this. I'm taking my chance. I'm dead. He says that he's given enough specifically. And Sam's like, look, until we figure this out, your safest place is with us. And Jimmy's like, okay, well, then how long? And Sam's like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Jimmy is not accepting that as an answer at all. And he just tries to block out. But Sam stops him and he's like, look, if you like, where are you going? And Jimmy's like, I'm going to go see my wife and daughter. And Sam's like, well, you know, going to them is just going to put them in danger. And Jimmy's like, what? So I'm a prisoner now. And Sam's like, well, that's a harsh way to put it. But yes.
But yeah, you are.
So go lay down.
Like a dog.
Because that's the next thing we see.
Yeah. So go to sleep, Jimmy.
It's late. Take a nap.
You should be in bed. You haven't slept either in almost a year. So.
Right. Go to bed. I'll stay up and try to not tweak out. Right. But unfortunately, yeah. I will be unsuccessful.
And I will lick blood from my hand like a kitten. He, or when you said that, like Jimmy's like, I don't know anything. And Sam's like, the demons won't believe that. I was like, proof is that Sam doesn't believe it. So if Sam doesn't believe it, the demons won't.
He said, in the demons or in the room?
The demons are me, buddy.
So it's early in the morning and we see Jimmy is sleeping and Dean's also asleep and Sam is on guard. So Sam steps out. And then we see Jimmy wake up. He is still in a suit, clothed. He has shoes on. That would have raised a red flag for me. I'd have been like, why did you keep your shoes on?
Why are you getting the bed with shoes?
I would have hidden his shoes.
Take your shoes off before you lay down.
Yeah. Don't be afraid. Take your shoes off.
But he's ready to go. And he sneaks out. And he does sneak. He does a little tiptoe spy move. It's very funny. Yes, it is. And Sam is not looking great. He's looking rough, and he empties a flask onto his hand and licks it off his hand like a little weirdo, and it's demon blood. And he's clearly addicted because he's like, he does it and then he like hurriedly does it again, you know? You guys know, you saw it, you know? and then we go back and Sam is packing and he's like, Dean, hurry. And Dean's he's just laughing. He's brushing his teeth. He's giggling. He's like, I just think it's so funny that Jimmy got out while you were supposed to be on guard. Like, you lost him. Like, what were you even doing, Sam? And Sam was like, I was getting a Coke. And Dean was like, was it refreshing?
Was it good
Coke? That better be the best damn Coke you've ever had.
The way that Sam says, I was getting a Coke. He's such a bad liar. When he's really trying to lie, he's like directly, he's bad at it. So yeah. Bad at it.
And it's shocking that Dean's not like, you were getting a Coke? Were you? Because the way Sam says it is so like, I was just getting a Coke, Dean.
I was getting a Coke.
Get off my back, okay?
When he goes out there, why doesn't he at least just like watch the door?
Or why doesn't he get a Coke? You know, because I feel like that's the first, I'd be like, where is it? Did you chug it immediately and then throw it away?
He saw Jimmy was gone and he threw it.
He's so mad.
So Jimmy's making his way home. He's riding the bus. It goes to a flashback. Jimmy's cooking. And he hears Cass through the static. And next to him is a boiling pot of water. And he just puts his hand and his whole forearm into the pot of water. Emilio walks in, drops everything, freaks out naturally. And Jimmy stops her and he's like, no, it's okay. He asked me to do it to prove my faith. And Emilio's like, WTF, what's wrong with you? Jimmy is fine. And Jimmy thinks it's a miracle. And that's when Emilio asks who Castiel is. And then it goes back to Jimmy sitting on the bus and he's just staring dejectedly out the bus window.
I know that we already talked a little bit about Amelia's bad reaction. Not bad, but just not realistic. Because while she kind of freaks out, I feel like if I walked into my apartment and Jacob's whole forearm was in a boiling pot of water, I would be screaming. I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I would be like, not normal. She's like, oh my god, wait, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? She's like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, What do you, his arm is in a, like, I'd be screaming. I feel like I'd be freaking out.
I would freak out before I realized what was going on. And then he's like, no, look, it's fine. I'd be like, ah. Like, I would also freak out about it being fine.
Yeah, he's way too calm about everything.
I feel like I'd be like, should I try it? Like, maybe it's something with the water. Maybe it's not actually.
Right, I would definitely like put my hand at least over it, and then the steam would start to burn you. And you'd be like, okay, so that's a you'd real pot of water.
So it's hot. I also I love the idea that Cass is like, you need to prove your faith, and Jimmy's like, how? And Cass is just like, put your hand in that pot of boiling water. Like, there's so many things in this kitchen he could do. He's like, well, that'll do.
Also, so we're getting kind of like an insight slash whatever of how angels possess people versus demons. You know, like he, in the pilot, not the pilot, God, how many times am I going to refer to episode one of season four?
That's the beginning of the show.
He's like, oh, like, because Dean's like, you're possessing some poor bastard. And he's like, oh, he's a devout man. He actually prayed for this. And I'm like, did he?
That's a stretch.
Kind of a stretch. Like, I don't think he really, you didn't give him, it's not like informed consent. He didn't know exactly what this was all going to be. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not Cass's fault, obviously. As a Cass apologist, I cannot blame him for that. It's heaven.
Yeah.
He just was doing what heaven told him to do.
I feel like the prayer is probably like a use me for whatever your will is type prayer, which is a very common prayer among Christians. I'll do whatever I need to do type thing. And so then heaven's like, he said it, he'll do it. And he doesn't know what that means. Cause how could you? Cause there's nothing in the Bible that tells you what happens when a human is possessed by an angel. So
they said, use you. Absolutely. Right. I will be doing that.
I will be doing that. Yeah. And you'll feel it. You'll know. It won't be fun. Yep. So then we are looking at the boys in the Impala, and just for the sake of this one little conversation, Anna pops in. And I just feel like this is not necessary, but that's okay. And Dean like almost crashes, of course, because someone just appeared in his backseat. And that's, that's probably scary.
She gives no warning. She just says, hey, boys.
Yeah. Like, I would probably actually crash. And Dean just almost crashed. Yeah. So, I think he did a good job. And Dean's like, you look terrific. Because, of course, he needs to point that out right now. And Anna's like, not really an appropriate time to be talking about that. Anna's not into him at all anymore. She's like, it was just a one-time thing.
So, I thought I was dying. Yeah, I had sex with you. That's it.
Just a one-time thing, Dean. I'm not interested. Castiel would murder me. And she's like, did y'all let Jimmy get away? And Dean's like, ask Sam. I didn't let him do anything. I was asleep. And Anna's like, looks over at Sam to ask him. And then she's like, you look different. And Sam's like, me? Little old me? And she's like, yeah, you do. And he's like, something about getting a haircut. And she's like, yeah, that's not what I mean. And she just keeps staring at him. Like, it's like she knows. And she's like, you know, I know. And Dean's just over there like, yeah, period.
Constantly people are like going around this. And Dean's, they're never telling Dean. Dean never gets to know what the inside
for Dean some reason. Yeah. No. Poor Dean. He has to find out by watching it happen, which is like so rude.
Dramatic.
So traumatic. Can you imagine? And then Anna's like, okay, well, what did Jimmy tell you? Did he remember anything? And Jimmy's like, Dean is like, why do you ask? What's happening? And Anna's like, well, Cass got dragged back to heaven, and that's not good. It's painfully bad, actually. Like, it's really not good. Because Cass must have seriously pissed somebody off. And Dean's like, Cass had something important to tell me, Anna, but I don't know what it is. And it's just killing me to not know. And Jimmy didn't know either. And Anna's like, well, whatever Cass was going to tell you was really big. It must have been really important, Dean. And of course, Dean's like, I wish I knew. And she's like, you have to find out. And then Sam's like, well, we're going after Jimmy right now. Okay. And Anna's like, well, you shouldn't have let him get away in the first place. He's probably dead. So, and then that's it. So I really just feel like Anna didn't need to be here for this. I don't know. It just doesn't feel that important to me.
Yeah, but... they're really just like, hey, remember, Anna exists. She's here. Right. She's around. Also, we need someone to tell you that Heaven has Cass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
Which like... is interesting. Go ahead.
I just feel like we could have inferred that Heaven had Cass, you know? Like, it was angel on angel violence. Like, where else would he be? You know? I don't know.
The only thing I could think of is maybe if you think about any of the angels Uriel said was on his side. So maybe it was, like, that opposing side. But that was so many episodes ago. Yeah. I'm just remembering that. Anna, this... whole scene, Anna is so different than the Anna we've seen. It's like she became an angel again, and she's so much more like Cass, like with the whole like distant thing and very to the point, and like she's nowhere near like the same person that Dean hooked up with in the back of the Impala. And when she tells Sam he looks different and it's not his hair, which means it's not physically, she's like, I can only think of like fics like that I've read where it's like Cass or Anna like could like see like something different in Sam, like demon wise you know, they like demons have a true face and Anna could see them when she was human. So like, what is Sam changing into?
Right,
his soul, you know? Like,
that's a good point. I think like I always thought that it was just like a feeling that she had, like how like sometimes you can tell whenever somebody's going through it just by their like body language, you know. Like I thought that that's what it was, but that's a really good point that like, does he have like a semi demon face?
Like his eyes have been going black, like when he like drinks a bunch of the blood, and he's like on a power high, like his eyes have been doing some demon-y thing. So it would make sense that like she's like, you kind of look like a demon right now, I'm not gonna lie. Like, but he's really, like, he hasn't had any blood recently. So maybe that affects, like, how much she's seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
Truly. Because if he looked like full demon, like, why isn't anybody saying that, like, out loud?
So Jimmy makes it back home, and he sees Amelia and Claire in the window. And he's looking at them all sad and longingly. And then we get a flashback to Amelia being like, take your pills. Take these right now. He's like, I'm not sick, Amelia. And she's like, yes, you are. Like, you're really scaring me. You're going through it. And he's like, don't you believe in God? And she's like, what kind of question is that?
Of
and he's
course like,
is it really so hard to believe? Like, if you believe in God, then you believe in angels. And she's like, okay. He's like, and is it so crazy to believe that an angel is talking to me? She's like, yes. Yes, it is. And he says that the angel talking to him says that he's special, that it's in his blood, and that's why he's talking to him, and that God has chosen him for a higher purpose, and it's not his place to question it. And he tells Amelia, like, you know, she's like crying, and he like sits her down and is like holding her hand. And he's like, this is a blessing, and this is the most important thing to ever happen to me. And she's like, I thought that me and Claire were the most important thing to ever happen to you. And he's like, Amelia, like,
we dumb
religion.
Yeah. Stop.
Obviously. And she's like, okay, you're scaring me. And if you won't get help and or take these pills, then I'm taking Claire to my mother's in the morning. So it's your choice. And so next we see Jimmy. He was in like a t-shirt. He's changed into a suit. He said, if I'm going to pray to the angel Castiel, obviously I need to get fancy for this. He puts on the trench coat and he goes outside and starts praying to Cass. And he's like, you know, I want to help you, but I don't know how. And I'm about to lose my family. So like, whatever you need me to do, like, I need to know now. And this bright light shines on Jimmy and we hear whispers, and Jimmy is like hearing Cass through these whispers. So he's come a long way from static electricity causing him to have a seizure. Jimmy says that he understands, and he's like, okay, well, if I do this, you have to protect my family. And then okay, he'll do it. And then he explicitly says yes. And so then we see Castiel possess his vessel, and he kind of like looks at it in wonder, and like Misha Collins' whole like body changes like when he is cast now. It's a lot more stiff. Claire comes out and she's like, Daddy. And Cass turns around, looks her at her and says, I am not your father. And then walks away. Like, I know, so this sad. Is like, it's like, you have to remember that this is Cass before he's had any interaction with like Dean or Sam or any of that. Mm-hmm. So like, he really has no people skills, but he just looks at this little girl and says, I'm not your dad, and pieces out.
Yeah. She's then, like,
I don't know your father. You look just like him.
I am not your father. And also sounds different. Like, his voice is so much deeper than Jimmy's. So, like, poor Claire.
So bad for Claire.
Yeah.
She don't know what's going on.
She's just a young girl trying to live her life. Her dad is maybe crazy. Then he disappears. And then demons get involved. Like, she's been through it.
She has been. I know that, like, Amelia's, like, concerned and thinks that Jimmy's crazy. I just feel like taking Claire to her mom's is like, she skips so many steps, it feels like. Like, I know we don't see everything, but like, all we've really seen is him stick his arm in boiling water and not get burnt at all. So I'm like, I feel like you like withholding his child from him is like a little intense for where we're at on the timeline. Like, I understand if like he's doing things that are like, you think he's going to hurt you? Has he given you any reason to think he's going to hurt you or Claire? Right. I feel like he hasn't. Yeah. He's not Has tried he to hurt Claire himself. Right. He's not tried to hurt himself besides sticking his arm in a pot of boiling water and being fine, though. Like, he was fine. So I just don't understand. Like, it just feels like so drastic.
And like, when we think about religion and like Christianity, like, how many people say like, I heard God speak to me, you know, like,
right,
like, that's such a common verbiage that I feel like them, as being so religious as they are, like, should have been used to that. It's just now he stuck his hand in a pot of boiling water
and now it's too far. You stick your hand in one pot of boiling water, no one believes you anymore.
No one wants to hear it anymore about your religious visions. Once you've done that,
a guy does that one time and he never come back from it.
It's just like, this is clearly not the Bible Belt.
Yeah, he's very clearly in Illinois.
Like, oh yes, brother. Wow. Like,
do it again.
So Jimmy rings the bell, even though you can see through the door. Amelia's still shocked when she opens the door. she's like, we thought you were dead. And he's like, we stopped looking for you. He was like, I know. I'm sorry. And that's it. I know you thought I was dead. I'm so sorry. And Amelia's like, Claire, that's so older than you looked for me for a year. Wow. No, you didn't, because you stopped looking already.
You stopped.
You haven't even looked a year. Not even
been a year yet.
When did you stop?
Sorry to interrupt you, but I watched this part with Dylan. I said, if you disappeared from the house, I would not be giving up before a year.
Yeah. You disappeared from the house and turned to our daughter and said, I'm not your father, and then walked away.
She had already just decided he was crazy. She was already just like,
yeah. And she was just like, oh, well.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't think he was dead. Like, maybe he's lost his marbles and is out somewhere. Yeah. But I wouldn't
think he's dead. That's, like, so concerning. My husband, who I believe has a very serious mental illness, is out on the street.
Amelia tells Claire, she's like, go to your room. And Jimmy's like, can I see her? And Amelia says, no. She says, you will not be seeing her. So sorry. He's like, I'm so sorry. And he decides to lie to her and say that he's been at a psych ward and that he didn't want to come home until he was better for them. And Amelia's like, and there were no telephones. Like, what? And Jimmy's like, you're right. And I'm sorry. I already said that. You want me to say it again? He's like, it's all over now. I was just confused and delusional. And I thought God was calling me to something more important, but I was wrong. He said, heaven, hell, none of it matters anymore. The only thing that's important to me is Amelia and Claire. He's like, I can't undo what I've done, but I do want to come home. And Amelia's like, no, you can't do that. I am not comfortable with that. That will not be happening. And Jimmy's like, okay, well, maybe we can start with something smaller, like dinner. And I thought he meant like he was going to take her like on a date and they were like the two of them going to go to dinner. No, she immediately went back on what she just said, that he can't meet Claire. Claire's there.
And she's making the dinner. Like, he's not going to do a damn thing for her. She's going to make the dinner. She's going to set the table. He's going to sit down and not pray. And then when his friend shows up, he's just going to get up and walk away.
Yeah. and answer the door like he's been there for a year.
In the next scene. It's just so funny, though, because he's just like, oh, my friend, goodbye to my wife and daughter. Also, like, the choice to lie, to blatantly lie and say that he was getting help.
He's like, I can't tell her I was possessed by an angel. She'll never let me in the house.
Instead of, like, a normal lie, he's like, I was at a psych hospital like you wanted me to be. I was getting help. Yeah. He's just lying. Like, that's just
I told Claire I wasn't her dad. And then I went to a
psych ward. And I was there for almost a year, which is a very long time.
That's a very long time.
Very, that hardly, like, usually it's like 2 weeks. That's a really long time. So where were you really, Jimmy? Yeah. That's what I would say, but.
When Jimmy is telling Amelia, like, she thinks it's just like, oh, he was delusional about that, but he's, it's kind of like a double meaning to everything he's saying. He says that, you know, he thought he had, you know, God was calling him to something important, but he was wrong. So he thinks that whatever Cass, like, he's telling the truth that, like, what Cass called him for doesn't matter. It wasn't important. the only thing important is Amelia and Claire. He says that he was delusional. So he was, you know, deluded into what he thought heaven was and all of that. And that, you know, none of heaven and hell don't matter, only Amelia and Claire. And so technically he's not denying that those things exist. Amelia is hearing that, but he's actually saying, like, heaven and hell, they got a lot going on, but I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I don't care anymore. Like, and that's, I think that it's written well and it's worded really interestingly so that he could be meaning all of that. But to Amelia, it's just like, oh, he's saying he's not crazy anymore.
Yeah.
So Sam is now freaking out at the gas station. He's jonesing real hard. He's calling Ruby. He had to leave a message. He tells her that he is out of the demon blood and that he needs more. And then, you know, this is where Amelia completely goes back on her word. They have their little fun family dinner. And then somebody is at the door, and it's their neighbor. He asks about Jimmy and Amelia, tries to tell him, like, it's not a good time. But Jimmy's like, oh, hey, I'll come on over. So he comes over to the door. Roger wants to talk to him. Roger, the neighbor, wants to talk to him. And Jimmy tells him he wouldn't believe what's happened, but it's okay, and it's over now. Roger says it's not. Turns out, Roger's a demon. And when Amelia comes back, she just sees Jimmy just absolutely going to town on Roger's head with, what did he even grab?
It's like a crowbar.
A crowbar? I don't even know what it was. He just went for it.
I
don't know.
I didn't see it. I assumed it was some home decor, like, of some kind, like some sort of blunt object. Yeah, poor Amelia. she's coming back and she's just like,
hey, Roger!
Just beating the hell out of our neighbor.
Yeah.
Like, and he's, should have been dead. Like, Jimmy hit him in the head with a blunt object.
Candlestick. I looked it up.
And she's just like, oh, okay, great. My husband has snapped. He's not better.
I'm starting to believe maybe he didn't even go to a psych ward. She's like, wait.
Wait a damn minute.
Wait a minute. I always expect, for some reason, like, every time I watch this episode, that Amelia and Roger are, like, in a relationship. Because, like, the way that she answers the door and, like, is, like, it's not a good time. It just feels like,
and the way she's, like, get out. Like, after he walked in and she's, like, want a beer? And I'm just, like, oh, he's comfortable in this house. Like,
he lives here.
He's definitely been.
But then, wait, I thought for sure that's what I was going to say earlier. I thought for sure that they were sleeping together.
Like,
well, he also has a wife, too. Like, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but the other, he calls the demon his wife. So, like,
yeah.
I'm guessing they're married.
He's been lending some emotional support to Amelia during Jimmy's absence.
He definitely has at least been, I think he's at least been doing that. for sure. So yeah. I don't know, but.
Which, like, Amelia, she thinks her husband's dead. So I guess fair game. But if he has a wife and she would know, and he would know, has he been a demon this whole time? Like,
ooh, like, that'd be crazy.
Like, did they just have him? Because we know that, like, demons are not above, like, putting out posts being like, you just chill here. You just keep your eyes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Really, or did question. They, like, somehow see the Jimmy showed back up and they were like, sick him, you know?
Sick him.
get him. I don't know. But I will never not think it's funny, Jimmy being like, I'm so happy to have this dinner with my family. Oh, Roger's here? Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Roger!
These women. I'm just going to leave my family, who I just said are the most important people to me, to get up and talk to him. I just think that's so silly.
And the way that Amelia's like, do y'all want a beer? Like, she's bringing, like, does she bring wine also? Like, she has, like, a beer, or maybe it's bottles of beer. I can't remember.
Maybe.
And she's like, well, I guess we'll just have a little get together.
Like, she's like, I'm glad to not have to talk to Jimmy personally. So, whatever.
He was getting awkward in there. He was starting to cry.
I hate the way Claire's like, why are you crying? And because she looks like she's like, is it 7 or 8? I don't feel like that's the way like that kid that age would be. Why are you crying? And he's just like, I'm happy.
I'm happy.
Because I'm happy. And she's like,
you don't look very happy.
You don't look really sad. So Jimmy has just beat Roger intensely. And he's trying to get Claire and Amelia into the pantry with and he does get them in there. And he starts putting salt below the door. And Amelia is like, you have literally gone, like, you are crazier than I thought you were. And Jimmy's just like, Roger's a demon. He's a demon. And I had to do that. And then Amelia, like, gets Claire to run from the room. And so they all run because, of course, Jimmy's like, that's my daughter. But Roger gets Claire. And Roger's not dead. His head do be bloody, but he's not dead. So, like, obviously a demon. Yes. And Jimmy tries to get him to let Claire and Amelia go. But his wife, which is the other demon, like we already said, busts in. And she attacks Jimmy. But then Dean shows up. And he kills the demon that's holding Claire. And Sam has to be a really dramatic bitch and use his powers to try to kill the other demon. But he can't because he can't get it up, according to the demon. And Dean says, well, I can. And is going to stab her. But she poofs. And Dean gets Sam out of the house. And they meet with Jimmy and Claire, and then Amelia comes from somewhere else, and she's got their coats, and it's like, what were you doing, Amelia? You know,
A little suspicious.
Suspicious. Yeah.
And they all get into the Impala, and they drive away.
So they're at a gas station, and Amelia and Claire are still in the car, and Jimmy looks at Sam and Dean, he's like, wow, y'all were right. Man, crazy.
That's wild.
Who would have thought? Not me.
Let's move on. I don't want to anyway. Talk about that anymore.
My family turned out fine. Sucks for Roger, though.
Yeah, too bad.
Oh,
he's a cool guy.
And he's like, I'm telling y'all the truth. I don't know a damn thing. And Dean's like, yeah, well, the demons aren't going to believe you. So... sorry. And Sam's like, yeah, and even if they do believe you, you're still a vessel, and they're going to want to know how your vessel works, like how all that happens. So and Dean's like, yeah, so that means vivisection, if they're generous, whatever that means. I'm assuming it's like dissection,
but vivid.
Yeah, it's just with clues. I don't know. And so Sam is like, so listen to me this time. You're putting your family in danger and you have to come with us. And Jimmy's like, well, how long? And don't give me the we'll cross that bridge when we get there thing again. How long? And Sam kind of snaps and he says, don't you get it? Forever. And it's like, damn, Sam, okay.
Relax.
He's like, that's the only way to save them. You just get as far away from them as possible, or you put a bullet in your head. And Dean's like, damn, Sam, way to sugarcoat it. And he's like, I'm just telling the truth. Okay, Sam, calm down. So then Jimmy goes to Amelia, and Claire's asleep in the backseat. And Amelia's like, well, I guess I owe you the biggest apology. Turns out you were right. Demons. Damn, that's crazy. He's like, no, you don't owe me an apology. It's fine. And she's like, well, like, what are we going to do? Oh, well, first he's like, you were acting like a rational person. So can't blame you there. She's like, well, what are we going to do? Can we even go home? And he's like, well, these boys are going to get you a car. Don't ask me how, but they are. And you're going to take Claire to your parents. And she's like, we're not separating again. You're coming with us. And he's like, no, if I'm with you, you're in danger. And she's like, I don't care. We're not doing that. And Jimmy's like, we don't have a choice. And Amelia's like, okay, well, for how long? And then he says, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And Amelia cries. And he's like, you just have to get as far away from me as possible because the demons will kill you and they will kill Claire. And so it's really when he says it about Claire that she's like, okay, fine. And so Sam gives the car to Amelia, and Jimmy's saying goodbye to Claire. He tells her to take care of her mom. That's the last thing he says to her. And then Jimmy gets in the Impala with Sam and Dean, and they drive away. And then Claire looks up at her mom and is like, why is he leaving again? And then Amelia slaps the crap out of her. And it turns out that Amelia is actually possessed by a demon.
She slaps the crap out of her. And it probably actually wasn't Claire, but damn. I say probably. Like, she didn't just, maybe she didn't slap a child. She definitely didn't. But like, yeah. It's just wild. Claire's a method actor. Claire's like, no, just do it. Do it. Just do it.
Just slap me.
Just do it. Just slap me.
Yeah, I can't do it if you don't actually slap me. Slap me. Jimmy calling Sam and Dean these boys is so funny to me. He's like, these boys are going to get you a car. Like
he's ask me how.
Way older than them. And he's like, these boys. But like.
Right. It's like, so funny. Like, he's maybe like 2 or 3 years older than Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been aging for a year, so.
Right.
So Jimmy is in the backseat of the Impala, and Dean's like, he's asking Sam, like, what happened back there? And Sam's, he's like, you fainted. And Sam's like, I didn't faint. Just got a little tizzy. That's all. And Dean's like, whatever. You used to be able to kill Alistair, and now you can't even deal with stunt demon number three. And Dean's like, what's going on with your Sam? What's going on with your mojo? Because it's yo-yoing all over the place. Dean's like, I'm not trying to pick a fight, but you're scaring me. And Sam's like, I'm scaring myself. Whether that's a revelation of like, I think I'm addicted to demon blood, or if it's like, I need more demon blood. I'm scaring myself. I need more. Like, I don't know.
One of them.
Maybe
it makes a both.
Maybe. But he does slit the girl's throat later, so. Maybe
he could be scared about it and then just be powerless to do anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is how addiction works usually, so. But Sam gets a call from Amelia, and he hands it to Jimmy, and when Jimmy answers, he says, oh my god. He's so calm.
Yeah. I didn't really know what to say his face was, because his face definitely changes, so I put scared, but he doesn't look that scared. I just couldn't
He's like, oh my god.
Oh my god.
That's crazy.
He just calmly hands the phone back to him. He's like, my wife is a demon.
She's a demon.
She's got my daughter.
She's a demon.
And we've got to go get them.
I think it's really crazy that Sam even gives the phone to Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's supposed to be answers his number. Right, there's no question.
He answers it because, like, they often answer phone numbers they don't know, because you never know what it is. But exactly. Yeah, then it's like this, it's Jimmy's wife, who Jimmy's not supposed to have any contact with from now on. Sure. Here.
They just left. Jimmy. They just left her.
Right.
And he's like, who is this?
Yeah. And then he's like, okay. It's not for me.
How did you get this number?
Right. The demons, like, just pass it around.
They pull up to a warehouse, and Dean and Sam tell Jimmy to go in alone, like the demons expect, and that he and Sam will be coming up in the catwalks behind him. Dean's trying to tell him, like, you know, just stay calm, stall a little, let us do our job. Jimmy points out that it's his family and he can't be calm. Dean says this will work. No one will get hurt. And Jimmy says, whatever. And to give him a minute, and he walks away. Sam looks at Dean, says there's no way the demons expect Jimmy to be alone, and this is probably a trap. Dean says, yeah, but that's why he has a plan. I'm so sorry. I don't know what just happened in my brain. Jimmy begins praying / shouting at Castiel. He's like, you promised that you were going to take care of my family. Where are you now? He says that he gave Cass everything. When Cass doesn't answer, Jimmy says, typical. And he just walks into the warehouse.
Yep.
Typical.
Typical.
I think, like, it's so interesting that Jimmy calls Castiel Cass, because it's like,
yeah.
Castiel doesn't call himself that. I think Beth and Amelia probably will both agree with this. It's like, that's how Cass started to think of himself, because that's what Dean called him. And so, like, at the beginning, he's Castiel, and, like, he corrects people. But, like, as the show goes on, he's like, I'm Cass. I'm just Cass. You know, he's like, I'm
just Cass. Dean gave me a little nickname, and he named me Cass,
and that's what I am.
What did Jimmy even mean by typical, though? Because the last time he asked Cass for anything, Cass took over his body. So, like,
right?
I think that that's probably it. He's like, typical. You only want me when you want me, and now I'm nothing.
Yeah.
I have a question. What is this plan that Dean has? Because they never go over it. I have a theory. / headcanon of what's going on, but I just want to know if I have missed something. They never talk about the plan Dean has, right?
No.
We never see what they're doing. Okay.
And then it's instantly just like,
good plan, Dean. Plan. He's like, well, but like the way, we're jumping ahead, but the way he's like, well, nobody bats 1,000, it feels like they're doing like when Dean, like,
yeah,
following the plan.
Yeah.
It is the plan. So, right.
But how could it have been the plan?
Is the plan, okay, like they talk about it in the car, and they're like, all right, Jimmy, you're going to get there, and you're going to be really pissed off. And he's like, got it, I'm already there mentally. And they're like, perfect. They're like, go scream at Cass and just be really dejected and like, oh, Cass isn't helping you. And then Dean's like, I'm going to pray to Cass, and we're going to figure something out. And Cass is like, I'll take over Claire's body. You got it.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe they didn't even tell Jimmy this part, but, like, is Dean communicating with Cass in this to be like, hey, like, there's a little girl, like, and maybe Jimmy told them about, like, the whole, like, it's in my blood sort of, he did, didn't he? When they first picked him, he was like, it's in my blood. And so maybe Dean was like, I got the plan. Cass, go save the girl. Because, of course, their priority is getting Claire because she's a child. Amelia would be a bonus, but she is currently possessed by a demon, so like,
right, you know. It's gonna be tough.
And it's not in her blood, it's notably his blood and like Claire's. So like, is that the plan? Is the plan like, all right, they're gonna think our big plan is us coming through the back, but actually it's like Cass is there. I don't know, they never address it.
No, and it's like, that could definitely be the plan. I just feel like that's like, it's risky, because like, Dean doesn't know where, like, he knows he's in heaven, but he doesn't know if he can even hear him right now. Like, yeah. Dean has questions, but it's like,
right. I just don't understand why they have this use of like the plan, and it is nothing. Like, we don't see anything, but you're right to where like, can we even trust Cass? Like, Anna said that he got dragged back to heaven and he pissed someone off who's up in heaven. And it's like, was it really just like a, like, hey, Cass, like, have no idea what's going on with you.
Right.
But we kind of need you down here. We kind of,
we need kinda
a situation.
But yeah, like, I don't know.
And see, I say this, and I think some people like, Dean wouldn't pray to Cass, but like, he just prayed to Cass last time.
Yeah.
In episode 18, and Cass helped him.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe he's hoping, like, I know he's kind of tied up right now doing God knows what or being kept or something, but maybe I can still do this. Maybe this will work.
Right. He's just, it's just the faith that he has, not in.
In Cass?
In Cass, yeah. Yeah.
And this is all, like, you know, speculation and headcanon. Like, we don't know what happened, but, like, to me, this is what makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Than just, like, a random plan that didn't work out, and then them kind of vaguely mention it, but we don't see it. Like,
yeah.
It just is weird. And then Jensen's acting to be, like, Dean when, oh, no, the plan isn't working, when the plan is working exactly how it should be.
Yeah, right. Inside the thing, Demon Amelia is there waiting, and Claire is tied up to a chair and she's unconscious, and she's a child, so that's not great. And Jimmy is like begging Amelia, the demon, to let Claire and Amelia go, and she's like, you should have come alone. And she's like, of course you'd bring Sam and Dean, like, of course I knew you would, like, but you shouldn't have. But I knew you would, but you shouldn't have. And then the other demons bring them in, and this is where we were talking about Sam's, like, nice plan, and Dean's like, hey, no one bats a thousand. And it seems like they're, like, trying to fool the demons into thinking that this, their plan has not gone right. And then the main one is like, did you get the knife? And they have the demon knife that Sam and Dean have that Ruby gave to them. And Demon Amelia is like, it's funny because, like, I didn't even want to do this. I didn't want to pick up an empty vessel. This is boring. But look who I now have the opportunity to get. This is crazy. Amazing. So good for me. And Sam's like, let them go because you have us. And she's like, you are acting differently now when your powers aren't working. And, like, you are clearly, like, you're trying to do too much, Sam. And then she's like, here's the punchline, everyone dies. But apparently she really just means Jimmy, because she shoots him. Then they show Dean's reaction only, of course, because why would they show anybody else's? Nobody else cares. And then she tells a different demon to kill Claire. So just Jimmy and Claire. Sam and Dean aren't going to die, I guess. Because the demons have no other orders. They are to kill Claire. And that's that. And then when the demon gets to Claire to kill her, it turns out Claire is possessed by Castiel. So can't do that. And Castiel Claire smites the demon with his angel smiting stuff, and Sam and Dean begin to fight the demons that are on them. And Jimmy looks at Claire and he's like, oh my god, you're Castiel. That's crazy. He can tell. And then Sam's able to get the demon knife, but he gets distracted because he's like, demon blood, like any normal person would be. He's like, wait a minute, there's demon blood here. And so Dean is taking a lot of punches. He's getting hit a lot. And Cass comes to him and kills the demon that's hurting him. He smites him as well, because Cass is quick and efficient. And then Sampire. That's got to be a typo. It's not. Sampire, a.k.a. What? Sam is sucking demon blood straight from the tap, as I said earlier.
Vampire makes an appearance.
Yes.
You know what that means.
And Dean's like, I truly didn't at first. I was like, I don't know what that
is. Me either. When I first read it, I said.
And Dean's just looking at him like, oh my god. Oh my god. That's something that's really happening. And Cass is just like, yeah. I knew it was something. I knew it was bad, whatever it was.
I've been telling you.
I've been telling you.
This is the beginning.
I love that shot of Dean standing there and Cass just there like, It's Claire, like, obviously, but like, she's just like, yeah, I told you. Yeah. She's like standing there. She's like, yeah. So
she's kind of like, I told, like, he's gone bad. Yeah. I tried to warn you.
I didn't have all the details, but I did tell you.
I knew something was right.
So Sam kills the demon with the knife, and Dean is just like, what on earth is happening? And Sam raises his hand to use his powers on the Amelia. Wait, yeah. But Dean like flinches because he's like, oh my God, what is he going to do to me? He's like scared at first, which is really sad. Mm. And Sam exorcises Amelia, and then Cass Claire is just like, all right, this is taking way too long. Sam is obviously bad. We get it. Let's just get this over with. Dean like flinching when Sam raises his hand is so sad. Yeah. And he, like, I feel like if you weren't really watching, you could definitely miss it. Like if you're not like trying to like watch for Dean's reaction. But like he just does the littlest flinch because he's like,
he's genuinely scared.
He's so scared. And it's really sad.
It's super sad. Just a few things. Hannah pointed it out, but for some reason when Jimmy gets shot, they're like, you know whose reaction we need?
Dean's.
You know whose reaction we really need to see? It's Dean's. Like, it very easily could have gone to, like, I mean, Claire was unconscious, but Sam and Dean's? Like, why? Like, I know the frame can be bigger. Like, you could put both of them in it. But no.
No.
And I know that Cass isn't in that vessel right now, but that is the vessel that Dean associates with Cass. So seeing him get shot and mortally wounded, when normally Cass could just bounce right back, like it wouldn't even faze him because Dean knows because he shot him.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's just, why did they do that?
Yeah. Mm. There's another time earlier that I forgot to mention because I was confused in my notes about when it happens. But I think it's when Jimmy is like telling Amelia, she's in the car and he's like, they're going to get you a car after we, like, you know, I think it's that part. But Dean like walks by and like looks at Jimmy and Amelia, and it's like, why did we see that? Like, why did that be a thing? Just Dean, Sam.
I'm gonna be honest, I missed it. I was looking at my outline.
It's that part. It's either that part or it's like later when they're like really telling each other bye. It's one of those two times. Yeah. And they like, it's like specifically Jimmy and Amelia are talking to each other, and like you can tell that they love each other. And Dean like walks by and like watches them. And it's like, why? Why did you do
that? Why did they do that? Yeah, it's shit like this where I'm like, okay, this makes me think the bait started real soon. Like you guys got Jensen Ackles and Misha Collins in a room together and had that first scene. It was like, wow. And then the audience reaction was like, this is really popular. Like, oh, okay, well, let's just fucking bait it. Like, we're just going to really hardcore start. Because like, what do you mean? Like, why is any of this necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Also, when Cass is Claire and she goes to help Sam and Dean, the first person she stops from getting killed is Dean.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, in that instance, Dean's the one taking more punches and Sam is on top of his demon having a should I drink her blood crisis. But like, with everything added, it's just like another, like, if it was by itself, it'd be like, okay, not a big deal. But with everything, it's always Dean. Cass will always choose to save Dean first. Unless Sam is in mortal peril and he knows that Dean would want him to like get Sam. Right. But like,
yeah.
All right. So Cass walks over to Jimmy, and he's dying. It's really sad. He's not doing well. He's got minutes left, if that. And Cass is like, of course we keep our promises. And this is Cass as Claire. And she's like, you've been, you've served us very well. You're now going to get to go rest now in your true home in the fields of the Lord. And Jimmy's like, no, what about Claire? And Cass is like, she's with me now. She's chosen. It's in her blood as it was with yours. And Jimmy's like, no, you take me instead. And he's like, Cass is like, are you sure? Like, if you thought this was painful this year, like, you're not going to age. You're not going to die. Like, imagine a many thousand more like it. And Jimmy says, I literally don't care. You take me instead. And so Cass says, as you wish. And he does a little transfer. Lots of light goes between them. And yeah, then Cass is back in Jimmy's vessel and Amelia goes straight to Claire. Cass just walks right by them. You know, it's clearly not Jimmy anymore. And Cass goes to walk away and Dean stops him and is like, Cass, what is going on? Like, what were you going to tell me? Like, what's happening? And Cass turns to him and says, I learned my lesson when I was away, Dean. I serve heaven, not man, and especially not you. And then he leaves. He just pieces on out of there.
Seems rehearsed to me.
That is so brain worm inducing. What do you mean he doesn't serve man, especially not Dean? Dean specifically.
Yeah.
And what do you mean he learned a lesson in heaven? What does that mean?
I was just saying, it sounds very rehearsed. Like very much like, I don't know, almost like brainwashy. Yeah. Which now I'm not saying that not every single thing that Cassiel says kind of sounds like that, but it doesn't represent the Cassiel we saw in the cold open. And it's not representative of the Cassiel we that literally was like, wink, wink, Dean. This is like, what did they do to him in heaven to make him say he doesn't serve Dean?
He's kind of like back to episode one of season four Cass. Like, he's kind of just like, the pilot, if you will. Exactly. The Cass pilot.
The pilot, yeah.
he's kind of just like back at that. So that's kind of concerning. It's not painting heaven in a great light. You know, like, we're kind of going down this road where heaven is the side they're on. You know, they don't want Lucifer to rise. They don't want Lilith to do her thing. They don't want the seals to break. But, like, the way heaven is getting things done is not aligning with what the boys want anymore. Right. And I feel like Cass is, like, the best example of, like, how far heaven's willing to go on their side of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's not great.
No.
And then, of course, just the six singling out Dean. Yeah, flag that a million times. It's not especially not you two. It's just Dean.
Especially not you. Yeah.
Always.
I think the way he says it is so funny because I quoted in my notes. He says, I serve heaven. I don't serve men. Man, and I certainly don't serve you. He's like, mm-mm.
Period.
I certainly don't do that, Dean. and like the way he like
Dean, he's kind of
like
him.
Turned to, like, it's like almost like over his shoulder, and he's like, definitely not you.
So dramatic,
and then like it is so dramatic.
It's like it is honestly like they've have history, like they have a romantic history, and he's like, no, yeah, I know better now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For sure.
It's really funny.
And like, if we're thinking that, like, heaven has kind of, like, made him do this again, like, you know, we're not really sure what's going on, but, like, definitely him going to heaven has affected this. And it's like, why is he phrasing it this way? You know? Right. Like,
also, like, why is he just, like, now absolutely not going to tell Dean?
He was very motivated.
Right. What he was.
What was he going to tell Dean? Especially right. Abby, what do you think? What could be going on?
I don't know because it was bad enough that the angels were like, fuck no, you're not telling them shit.
Yeah
you know.
And just to remind you, he was like, we can't do this in your head, someone could be listening. Like,
yeah,
I like the idea that he was like in heaven being brainwashed and they were like, you serve heaven, and he's like, I serve heaven. They were like, you don't serve man, and he's like, I don't serve man, and they were like, and you certainly do not serve Dean Winchester, and he was like, so period. True, guys, so true.
He said, and I certainly don't serve Dean Winchester.
What if it was like, and you don't serve man? He's like, and I don't serve man except Dean.
I also like to think that they're like, you don't serve man. And he's like, I don't serve man. You don't serve Dean Winchester. And he's like, I serve Dean Winchester. And they're like, no.
So the boys are in the car and there's tension. And Sam's like, okay, Dean, just drop the bomb. And he's like, you know, you saw what I did. So you can pull over, you can take a swing, scream, chew me out, whatever. And Dean's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not mad. And Sam's like, I don't believe you. he's like, at least let me explain. And Dean's like, literally don't. I don't care. And he's like, what do you want me to say? That I'm disappointed? Like, of course I am. But like, I'm tired. I'm done. And then Sam gets a call from Bobby. And Sam's like, what's going on? And Bobby's like, the apocalypse. And then he hangs up. So real, Bobby. That's true. The apocalypse is going on. And Dean's like, what did he say? And the next thing we see, they're at Bobby's and they're headed to the panic room. And he's like, I just need to show you guys something. And he's like, just come inside. And Sam goes inside and he's like, what's the big demon problem? And Bobby says, it's you. And then they shut him in and they lock it. And Bobby says, this is for your own good. I said, this is very Salvatore Dungeon. This is given.
Yes. You had no idea when you first saw it that it would be so similar.
What is it called when they drain them of their blood?
I was going to say desecrate. Is that different?
But that's what they're going to do to Sam. But this is exactly what they do when they just want to wait for the blood, the vervain to pass out of your system. Just lock you up.
Like Sam in the last episode got his blood drained. They should have done that again this time. Yeah. But also maybe that's why he really started getting weak. Because he lost a bunch of blood.
He lost a lot of blood. He hasn't
seen Ruby to replenish it. I love when things connect to the...
Also, that's true. I know that Dean has just been, he's been done and tired. But the way that it comes after Cass has said, like, I don't serve you. I won't be affiliating with you. When he says, I don't care. Like, he's like, I don't care. Cass doesn't want to talk to me. Cass isn't going to be around me. And like, I don't care anymore.
Abby, I could kiss your forehead. But you're so right. Like, Cass has rejected him basically. And is like, not really on their side anymore. And he's like, this is literally the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. My brother is drinking demon blood. And the one thing I thought we could count on is not even helping us. Like, literally Bobby is all he has left right now. Mm-hmm. He also just found out his dad had like a secret life. Like, Dean is in shambles. Yes. Like, his self-worth and his life is not going the way he wants it to.
Yeah. I love Bobby and Dean like scheming. Because like when Bobby calls Sam and Dean's like, what'd he say?
What'd he say?
Yeah. What did he say?
They weren't really apart. So that means Dean like had to quickly be like that some like maybe like they've already been kind of suspecting something's going on with Sam.
Yeah,
this whole season anyways. So like maybe they were like, Dean was like, it's happened, call. Like they had a protocol in place and Dean just sent out like a safe word or something.
Yeah,
and
he was
just like, so. And Bobby was like, damn it.
And you know, Sam really had it coming.
Now, do I think that locking him in a panic room and just leaving him there and not talking to him is gonna be like a great idea? Probably not. But like,
no. He's probably gonna go crazy.
But like, what can they do? You know, like, what else is there to do?
Right.
Going back to like what Abby said, that Dean said that he's tired and he's done. It really made me think of earlier in this episode when Jimmy says he's done, like he's out and he just wants back with his family. Like he's done enough. He's given enough. Mm-hmm. It just is really like calling back to that. And like Dean's like, I've given my brother. Look at him now. Like, can't stop that. The one thing I have faith in, he's not around. Dad had a secret life. That's fine. Yeah. Like, I think that their stories mirroring each other is really interesting.
Yeah.
But not in the way you would suspect, because Jimmy didn't, in fact, have someone drinking demon blood on his side.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Abby Jo, what's your favorite time of the episode? Favorite part?
Okay.
The next episode, 421, is called When the Levee Breaks.
And this is a second to last one.
Yes, this is the penultimate episode.
It is.
I think it's going to be about the 66th seal being broken.
And that's the levee?
No, but I think it's going to be about the 66th seal being broken and them trying to stop it. And then maybe Lilith is gonna come up and she's come up. kill Sam because that's all she's trying to do.
And she's so boring.
And
she has one thing.
She is. She just, and like, really, she just wants to kill Sam. I mean, she wants to raise Lucifer too, but like, she just wants to kill Sam. That's pretty boring. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know, because I feel like not too much is going to happen in this episode because there's just got to be enough for right. the last one too. Maybe the Levy is Sam.
Oh, explain.
Maybe, because you think of something like the Levy breaks. It's supposed to be like a, I don't know. Hey, can you tell me what a Levy is?
Let's get the Google definition so that there's no confusion. A levee is an embankment built to prevent the overflow of a river.
So like a dam. Yeah,
that's what I thought, like a dam. But I was thinking, like maybe, I honestly forgot about Sam being in the panic room until you said that. And so I thought
the thing that happened last.
The levee. Yeah. Yeah. I thought maybe Sam is the levee, and Sam, like, when the levee breaks, like, he loses it, like, all, like, he, I don't know what would happen, but he, like, gets, I don't know, mm-hmm. like, a rage, like, a anger stuff, because, right. like, anger stuff, you know?
Like, withdrawal.
Because of them locking yeah. him up, and, like, yeah, kind of like withdrawal. He goes a little, mm-hmm. wild, and I think that maybe it's going to like push him mm-hmm. over an edge.
Like a levee.
And that is going to be like, mm-hmm. or like that it's he's going to like, all hell's going to break loose.
Right. And they couldn't name it that because they'd already done that twice. Right.
Because they've already done part one and part two. But it's just kind of the same. It's kind of the same thing though.
Is that we can't do a part three?
At least. That's what
seasons I'm saying. Later. Yeah, seasons no. later. That wouldn't make sense.
No.
Okay. So I'm just trying to understand your process of exactly what you're saying. So you said that this okay. you said the 66 seal breaking is that Sam too. Losing it, or is Sam gonna lose it because of the
well
seal?
These were two separate oh,
okay
theories.
I thought they were
these
together
were two separate
okay.
theories
okay.
No, because you mentioned right. Sam being in the panic room, and I thought
he is in there.
What about that? What about that? He is. You're so right. You're right.
okay I thought yes. you were saying those were together, and I was like, hang on, I'm no. confused.
No, I think it's either going to, I would say the 66 seal, but the only thing about that, maybe Sam losing it is the 66 seal.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
Okay, sorry. A lot's happening.
We'll find out.
Because the first seal was Dean. Maybe the last seal is Sam. Maybe Sam. Okay. That'll be wild. But anyway.
Okay.
Those
okay.
are separate theories. Either the 66 seal is getting broken. I have three, I guess, now.
You're just collecting these theories. You're collecting them.
Losing it. Sam goes kind of off the deep end and all hell breaks loose. And that's how the levee is. Part three. Or to tag on to that one, it does a little bottom. Sam losing it and going off the deep end is the 66th seal.
Those are good theories. We'll have to keep an eye on them.
I feel like those are good, actually. Not like good as an accurate, but good as in like creative.
I would agree.
Well, it's a theory.
We've come a long way since season one.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So next week we will be watching, well, not watching, talking about.
We will also watch
21.
It. But...
we will watch it, but we won't be doing that on the podcast.
Yeah.
No.
And next week we will be having KJ from Supernatural Opinions Pod on here. We know that we've been giving Sam a lot of hate, and they are our go to Sam girly gender neutral that we go to kind of balance this out. So we're gonna have KJ on here. It's gonna be really fun. Amelia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys.
It's always fun. Just the sisters all getting together, including me.
Just us and our fourth sister.
Yeah. It's always fun to have Amelia on here. So thanks for making time for us. And yeah, so if you want to contact us, you can reach us on TikTok and Twitter. We also have a Discord, and it's really fun, and you should join it. As of this week, Hannah just started a Vampire Diaries chat because she's rewatching it.
Hell yeah.
So we do a lot of things that aren't necessarily Supernatural related, but it's a fun little community. And
it was required.
If you want to email us, you can email us at raisingperdition@gmail.com. If you have any really negative things to say that are mean-spirited, you can send them to lawboy@stanford.edu. Sam will check them and he'll totally be on your side. And yeah, that's it. We'll be back next week.
So, all right.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, bye.
You've been listening to Raising Perdition, a Supernatural rewatch podcast hosted by Beth, Hannah, and Abby Jo. If you enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate it if you shared it with your friends or anyone else you think would enjoy it. If you have anything kind to say or want to give us your comments on this episode, you can email us at raisingperdition@gmail.com or join our Discord. The details are in our show notes below. You can also find us on Twitter @rperditionpod or on TikTok @raisingperdition. Thank you for listening.